SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Thursday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website too, stevebick.com. And sorry about yesterday, but actually, all things considered, it turned into a bit of a mental health day, as you used to say. Remember when you were in school and particularly in college, when you'd blow off classes. Ah, mental health day. I need a freshen. No, it worked out. Whatever Comcast was, whatever was ailing them in South Florida by later in the day was smoothed out. And so hope you didn't miss us too much yesterday. And anything that we didn't get to, we will between today and tomorrow. That includes visits with Pete Fornatel and Joe Metka. Philly Joe tomorrow, to celebrate his win at Santa Anita. And we were going to talk to Jessica Martini anyway today. She couldn't be with us yesterday for the sale, so just as well. And Sid Fernando, actually, I heard from when I let Sid know that we had derailed the Wednesday get-together. Sid wrote back, that's okay, because he had no phone, his both of his phones. He is winding down his Florida trip after 5 weeks, 6 weeks, and was headed back to New York. So we tabled Sid, too, and we'll save his conversation for next week. So it kind of worked out fine. And we will basically do a Thursday get-together with a couple of added tidbits from the last couple of days and from the Preakness weekend. We'll talk to Tom Quigley later. There's a carryover, 60,000 plus at Santa Anita. They resumed racing and promptly delivered a $60,000 carryover. We'll check in with Rich Yang, get his take, of course, on Preakness weekend, and Steve Haskin. We'll get Steve's official full read from the weekend, and I referenced Haskins' recap on Monday or maybe Tuesday, and yesterday I suggested Jay Hubdy's piece about getting to New York with Triple Crown. We will have an update as well, I think, as soon as tomorrow, no later than next Monday, about New York and what you can expect, and if you're making plans, we'll help you with that as well. So waiting for the latest update as they take stock in New York as to seating options and all the particulars for Justify's Triple Crown try and everything that goes with it. And everything that goes with it is considerable, considering the stakes and the festival nature that NYRA has tried to cultivate Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And plenty of, you know, major racing of import, including the Met Mile, but also, you know, things like the Just a Game and the Ogden Phipps. And you heard Baffert on Monday reference getting Abel Tasman back up to speed. So the rest of that, you know, we got the True North on Friday, as well as the two-year-olds. You got the Better Roses on Thursday. Or no, I think the Better Roses, no, Better Roses is on Friday. Yes, Better Roses is Friday. Here it is, Thursday, the Astoria, the Intercontinental, and the Wonder again. Then Friday, the Better Roses, the Gold Cup, the wacky two-mile turf race, the New York Stakes, fillies and mares going a mile and a quarter on the grass, and the Tremont and the True North. So there's your lead up to what is a super Saturday, supersized to anyway, whether there's a Triple Crown try or not, but there's going to be. Certainly today, the piece of news or the element of preparedness for Triple Crown try justify return to the racetrack today in the last 90 minutes. I sent out the link for everybody on Twitter. If you hadn't seen that yesterday, Darren Rogers, courtesy of Churchill and Twin Spires, they are going to broadcast, not as expansive a show, obviously, as during the lead-up to Derby, but 7:30 to 7:45, the live feed, the same KentuckyDerby.com address, the workout link that you were using leading to Derby. You will watch Justify and potentially any other workouts that fall into the session. If they, you look at the potential for some of the other Churchill-based participants that could come out. That includes Bravazo, most notably, and Free Drop Billy, who is now a Belmont Consider. Restoring Hope, too. And if you hadn't seen the news yesterday, Gary West, he wants Restoring Hope to participate. The Giants Causeway son out of the Tappet Mare. Third in the Wood. And the horse that kind of had his chance at Triple Crown participation sidetracked when he managed to be on the outside looking in for the Sunland Derby. There's no telling what might have happened had Restoring Hope, think about that, had Restoring Hope gone to Sunland and succeeded there. The West homebred ran in the Pat Day Mile and really wasn't much of a factor. Kind of mid-pack early, and the conditions and the circumstances didn't go well. So Restoring Hope is at Churchill, and you can watch him. Bravazo, of course, who's going to dance all three dances. And Free Drop Billy, the All-Boss. Union Rags, Colt out of a Giants Causeway mare, bred by Mrs. Groves, and of course coming out of the Derby. So, at least three others that are at. Oh, and actually, Blended Citizen too. Blended Citizen came over from Keeneland, where Doug O'Neill's got the string, and. So the question is he's probably back at Keeneland. So, but Blended Citizen should be on your list as well. You can take My Boy Jack off your list of Belmont possibles. He's going to point for the Belmont Derby. See about his return to turf. And, of course, he started his career pretty darn well on the turf, including the win in the Zuma Beach. So he's going to participate in the Belmont Derby and then look to the Haskell and the Travers. So no My Boy Jack. And, of course, that is one of the tangents from the discussion about horses like him and Audible with the crossover ownership with Justify. And I'll get to that in a second, and as well as an addendum to that discussion that occurred to me yesterday in something that I wrote at my website at Derby Trail. But first, Justify's gallop today, absolutely full of energy and controlled power, is the easiest moniker to slap on his return to the racetrack, and he looked absolutely terrific. Feeling good, too. There was one, if you haven't seen it, and I texted John Nichols because I and I'm waiting to see the replay. But I was watching the feed, and when early on, when he broke off, you know, Jimmy Barnes takes him to the front stretch, and there was a nice crowd on hand at Churchill to watch Justify's return to the racetrack, and a glorious-looking morning at in Louisville. And typical, you know, come around to the front side, turn, Justify, you know, taking it all in and then breaking off. And when he went around a mile and a half, and when he came around the far turn, he kind of playfully, like, bucked up and, you know, kind of leapt in the air and kicked out, it looked like to me. And So I texted John. I said, did he just buck and kick? And John said, feeling good. He's feeling fine, is what John said. And boy, that's a good way to start the preparations toward Belmont. And what are we, 17 days out? So you got to just daily monitor and just progress. Baffert yesterday telling Jay Privman, the plan is for one work, depending on weather and depending on the horse's energy level and how, you know, how much steam they need to blow off and so forth, that he could work Saturday, Sunday, or Monday before Belmont. So he'll gallop daily and work once ahead of the Belmont. So all good, and big shout out and appreciation. Even before this return to the racetrack, people were distressed that we're not going to see. How are we going to see Justify? You're going to see, because courtesy of Twin Spires and Churchill, you're going to see him daily. So pack that complaint away for some other time. The reference about the cross ownership issue, and this is being widely discussed, and I brought it up after Derby to some degree with Elliot Walden, and it immediately has become the topic of discussion leading these next couple of weeks. And, you know, Audible having the same exact set of ownership and the same structure as Justify, and whether or not Windstar, China Horse, Starlight, and Cumin will run Audible or not. And we'll see. And if you think back to the conversation with Todd Pletcher, right after Derby, you know, Pletcher said, Vino Rosso, yes, and no for Malibu Moon and Magnum Moon and Noble Indy. People are saying, oh, why? Well, Noble Indy's not. No, Noble Indy was never under consideration. Never. Never. Probably not from the half mile pole in the Derby was he under consideration for the Belmont. So you can, another horse to put away and not carry on about. And then, you know, the Audible that was possible. And Todd, you could tell, was aware immediately of what that potential discussion was going to be about. I'm going to bring up a people are, Triple Crown. Let's go back to 1948. Let's go back to 1948. The citation was the best horse in the division, right? Who was the second best horse? It was Coal Town, who was so good that Eddie Arcaro wasn't sure who he was going to ride in the Derby. And they conducted the Kentucky Derby, and Citation beat Coal Town by, I think, a handful of lengths, four lengths. Coal Town didn't run back in the Preakness. Coal Town didn't run back in the Belmont either. So the horse that was closest and who was clearly the second best of the 1948 crop, owned by the same connection as Citation, they didn't run Coal Town back against Citation the rest of the Triple Crown. So I saw one suggestion. Oh, if Audible doesn't run, then there's an asterisk. It's unbelievable. I mean, you can't. You got to be kidding. For starters, Justify has already, just by virtue of the Derby. And I'm gonna stick with 1948. Justify, by virtue of the Derby, has already faced more horses just in the Derby. Physical different horses, competition, than Citation faced in the entire Triple Crown. Correct. Citation in the three races beat 15 horses. And actually only really beat 12, because three of them ran in two legs of the Triple Crown that year. It's amazing. Secretariat beat 12, 5, and 4. So he faced a total of 21 entrants in his Triple Crown. Seattle slew 14, 6, and 7. 27 horses. Affirmed faced 10, 4, and 4. 18. An American Pharaoh, 17, 7, and 8. 32. So, I'm just bristling at the carrying on about whether Audible runs or not in the Belmont. Can I say something now? And there's no guarantee that as I said on Monday, it's the Triple Crown and it's a challenge and it's demanding and so forth. I hope he absolutely throttles whoever the hell shows up. Honest to God, I hope he wins like Risen Star, like a Fleet Alex, like Point Given. I hope he just goes out there and demolishes whoever shows up. This is the most bizarre scenario I think I've ever seen, where an undefeated horse that is that is done in as truncated a period as much as any 3 year old in history, seemingly. It's a stunning. It's just stunning. That there's some complaint about him getting to, and by the way, if it rains and if it's wet and he is successful, they will hear that complaint too. Oh well, he didn't do it on him. He would have been beaten three times on a fast dry track. It's really strange. I got a ton of stuff to go over. I want to get, we got terrific racing on Saturday. If you haven't had a chance to look at the cards, including the Gamely Gold Cup card at Santa Anita. Monmouth has its first big stake day with the Monmouth and with the Boiling Springs and much more. We got the Winning Colors and the Kirtana at Churchill, the Arlington Classic, and more. Good Saturday. Lone Star Park Handicap on Sunday. And I almost asked Baffert where Mooptahij was going to show up next, and the answer is Texas, along with a lot of cowboys. Shotgun and Fear the Cowboy. Let's take a break. Tons to do back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9000. 938-4643.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I'm a trouble man, changed by the things I do. True, but it's funny how they all remember you. It all could be different, time to do something new. We're giving everything, all to be a happy man. Gotta understand, played by the friends I lose. Who's getting out of hand? Do you think they depend on?
We're back at the races, and I don't know if you've heard this, Happy Man by Jungle Awesome, and fitting our, right, Case, our spring theme of sound-alike, stylistics. It's amazing, but it sounds fresh, right? It's even though it borrows from, you know, from a certain genre that certainly worked the first time around. In fact, it had me, you know, the conversation we had last week, it got me, you talked about, Casey talked about Bootsy Collins, and I went back to, you know, being from Hartford, little Parliament Funkadelic, little George Clinton, gotta go back to the roots. In fact, you know, where were we? Were we, was it in Kentucky? I was somewhere just lately where NRBQ was, speaking of Connecticut, where NRBQ was had just played, and I just missed them. And I certainly, the New Rhythm and Blues Quartet, it's the greatest album. It's the one of the funniest gags in probably in music history was NRBQ, the album NRBQ at Yankee Stadium. And Big Al Anderson and the band in an empty stadium, in an empty Yankee Stadium, sitting in seats. They just were at Yankee Stadium. I got that album somewhere. I love. Well, speaking of Hartford and speaking of New England, the news spread like wildfire yesterday regarding the Barrington Fair. And even though it wouldn't be would still qualify under the fair auspice, considering the husband and wife owners of the property, Great Barrington entering prominently now in the, at least the immediate plans for Massachusetts. And there's a lot of layers to this. And what we heard yesterday and the news that you may have read or heard, the utilizing Chip Tuttle and the existing Suffolk business entity is what this is about. And the long-term interests on that front of maintaining racing in Massachusetts, in New England, and utilizing the existing Suffolk license, working with the Gaming Commission and the state, and all those working parts. And there's several entities that are very much committed and very much interested in participating in racing going forward in Massachusetts. This is not the only, part of the plan, but this is a 10-year lease, basically, that would resurrect the fairgrounds facility. And you might remember from the conversation we had, and even when we paid tribute to the late Carlos Figueroa, but when Tina and I had met my brother in Barrington for lunch, and then I said to Tina, come on, I want to take you to the fair, to the grounds. And we walked the fairgrounds and got some great pictures. But I can tell you, and this was two summers ago, it's going to take some money, obviously, and the buildings are not in terrible shape. As opposed to some places over, for instance, at Pownall, at Green Mountain, and certainly some other places where barns had to be knocked down. But it would not take a whole lot to fix up the building. The building is maybe even in some ways the easiest to clean up and restore. And then in terms of renovating the racetrack, there's really not a lot to do. And in fact, I talked to Lou Raffetto this morning, and Lou said that they can take the rails, they can take the whole rail system from Suffolk and bring it to Great Barrington. So in terms of putting in modern safety rails, they can bring the photo equipment and so forth. And everything else is pretty much a matter of just, getting out the surveying equipment and the grade alls and taking the grass off the turf. It's like a turf course right now. So you would take that off. You'd probably scrape down to the base, see how the base is, the original base, probably need some maintenance there, and then put a fresh, a fresh cushion on top. It's very doable, and they could, in fact, even get it done for as soon as next year. Right now, it appears that there would be another Suffolk season with the four weekends. It's worked very well, and they've been very successful. And if they have to make the move, every possibility they could move it for next year that quickly. The long-term plan could. It doesn't have to be much different even than right now, but if you're going to put the money in, you might as well race a little bit. And Lou said that he thinks that, you know, the intermediate would mean the same kind of, you know, racing, you know, 3 days, you know, 2-3 days, several weekends, and then you build from there. And it could very easily, you know, could very easily overlap in the way it, you know, the way the fair used to in the fall. You could actually have like a summer, you could have some summer dates and then some fall dates. It also, of course, you know, given what Chip Tuttle and Sterling, what they had hoped for Suffolk, when they didn't get the, you know, the license, and it, some people feel it was kind of cheated out of it. But who knows what long-term prospects could be involved here? Things like instant racing has come up, a potential, you know, growth. Who knows? I mean, you could have a gaming concept. You could have a sports betting parlor. Who knows now? I mean, the landscape has changed so much, literally in the last 2 weeks. But there is some real excitement, I think, for people, for those that used to go to Great Barrington and the Leaky Roof Circuit. And certainly, I can tell you one family. There's one family that is absolutely, they woke up with a song in their heart. That would be the Matisses. And the Matisses are hoping that there might be racing at Great Barrington, maybe on, how about on the dark days? How about on dark Tuesdays during the summer, so that the Saratoga contingent could run over and enjoy Great Barrington on the dark day when Saratoga doesn't run. Right? That would be, you know, interesting that comes up, because if there does come a time when Saratoga goes to 5 days a week, and that would, you know, it'd probably be, you know, Wednesday to Sunday. You would think they would cut out the Monday. That would open up a window. If Great Barrington is then operational, that would be a natural to run Mondays, Tuesdays, while Saratoga's dark. That would be perfect. And Green Mountain, you think back to Sunday when Green Mountain broke the barrier on Sunday racing. That was a big deal at the time. Well, this is a big breakthrough, and if now we can get somebody up to Pownell and get Green Mountain going, we're on to something, right? It's hard not to be kind of cheery with this news, and for those of you who've only seen the pictures, you can really instantly imagine what this looked like, and you know how quaint and pleasant. And Great Barrington itself, the town, is, if you haven't been, I mean, a lot of the Western Mass, you know, small cities and towns are doing great, and there's all kinds of interesting things, whether it's, you know, whether it's farm to table restaurants or whatever. So there's all kinds of things going on. Great Barrington is really quite nice if you haven't been. So that was yesterday's sensation. A few other pieces of news, and let me get a couple of jockey pieces in here. Javier Castellano has hired John Panagot, who, of course, has managed Bob LaPenta's racing interests. And ending, you know, what has been a successful enough relationship with Mike Lacow, and I ran into Mike on Sunday, as it happens, and this news had not yet broken. So Javier not happy apparently with the course of his business. I guess it doesn't occur to Castellano that that there's some up and coming riders that if his business isn't as strong as he thinks it should be, he might take a look over his shoulder at some of the younger riders that are, you know, that have emerged. I a little strange, but it was strange enough when his relationship ended with Matt Musiker, as if Matt hadn't done enough for him. More importantly than Javier's business arrangements, Marlon St. Julien, you may have seen over the weekend, it didn't just shows you it doesn't have to be a spill that and a trampling or, you know, a pile up to be dangerous and to be, you know, potentially, you know, seriously injurious. St. Julien, right at the start on Saturday night at Prairie Meadows, takes the spill and goes over and hits head first. And a couple of fractured vertebrae, and the surgeons stabilized and fused. He's got movement in the extremity. So first and foremost, most important, but he's still in intensive care, and he's intubated, but is awake, and he's in, you know, communication and it, you know, mobility looks not to be an issue right now, but obviously plenty of things to watch and to keep tabs on going forward. So best of luck. Marlon St. Julien's had a very, you know, very nice journeyman career. And in fact, doesn't say how old he is, but he's got to be, he's been around as long as I can remember, actually. I mean, Marlon St. Julien, he's ridden in virtually almost all parts of the country, and is, haven't, you know what, in fact, I'll do it right now, and I'm just curious in terms of the, you know, the timing and the dates of his career, how long and how much, how many wins and that kind of thing. I'm very curious now that, there you go, he's approaching 2,500 wins. 20 almost 24,000 mounts. He's made $47 million with his mounts, and goes back to the late 80s. His first stats started to accumulate in 1989. So he's had a very nice career, and we hope comes out of this okay. He's won a few stakes and a couple of graded stakes over the years, including a Grade One win. He actually rode Zoftig to her win in the Saline. How about that? That's great. I didn't realize that going back. Wow. Nice. Well, wishing the best for Marlon St. Julien. And some other, you know, lots of other, frankly, businessy news coming out of Triple Crown. That includes some of the, you know, some of the quotes that I mentioned on Monday. Tim Ritvo and the fate going forward, Laurel and Pimlico. There's also the sports betting landscape is about as fast moving on a daily basis as it makes your head spin. But the news yesterday, Paddy Power and Betfair combined, of course, and they are now linked up. They made a deal yesterday that was announced, partnered up with FanDuel. So there's so much. In fact, Bill Finley's got a piece on the cover of TDN today that talks about, you know, what beyond New Jersey, what to expect and what's going on, and we continue, you know, continue to monitor that. And so there'll be a pulse taking on a regular basis. And I should mention as we go to the break, regarding New Jersey, Monmouth, a little bit on hold just until the state legislature, until Trenton does whatever they got to do. And you remember that Dennis Drazen did say that he'll have to, you know, put the brakes at times on, you know, whatever the state, you know, whatever the state's instructions are in terms of progress on the all the rules and whatever else that needs to go as part of the sports betting mechanism. And mentioning TDN, and Bill's piece, will go to Jessica Martini. You know what I say? It's never too early for a martini when it's Jessica Martini. And she joins us next to talk, get her recap from Phasic Tipton, Mid-Atlantic two-year-old in training sale. See what Jessica thought and what who she talked to, and news and views. Top of the hour, Tony Black. I want to talk to Tony about the Jose Ortiz decision making and you know how he saw it. Came to good magic. You know, Steve Haskin and Quigley's Corner, Rich Eng, and more. Jessica joins us next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back. At the Races, Milk and Coffee, and having a cup of coffee here with Jessica Martini. We're gonna stay away from the shaker for now, maybe later. But Jessica Martini joins us from TDN in the aftermath of the Mid-Atlantic sale. And Jessica, we were kind of waiting and waiting for fireworks. There was, you know, lots of nice sparklers and, you know, a couple of cherry bombs. And then in the waning minutes on Wednesday, all of a sudden, we racked up a couple of $1 million worth of sellers. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Yeah, it was a crazy couple of minutes there for all the reporters. I can tell you, everyone kind of had targeted the Medag and the Union Rags as the two big horses on the day, and they sold within like 10 hits. So we were scrambling to get all the information down, but it was an exciting couple of minutes there.
The overall numbers. I mean, just to give the tacit figures, it is very solid. It was going to be tough, of course, because the year before, you know, had set some high marks.
Yeah, last year was a record-setting sale for that auction, and I think everyone was very happy that to even come close to that would have been great, but I think that it came as close as it did. It is pretty remarkable, and I think the sales officials were very happy with the results. The average was down slightly, but not a whole lot, and the median was actually up 8%, and I think that's kind of indicative of the strong buying bench that was there. You had kind of everybody was there. The regional market was there. The Koreans were very active, and I think that bolstered the middle market a bit. And of course, the California trainers came in and were spending big money too. So a little something for everyone in the catalog.
It's funny that you included the KOID and the other Korean subset in this, because it used to be that they had kind of a threshold of 30,000 to 40,000, and that, at least in the two-year-old and training sale season, it seems to have really increased, and that they're buying more horses at higher prices than they used to.
They are definitely upping their game. I think that the racing industry there is improving. I think the average that they had in Atlantic, they bought in the $63,000 range. So, yeah, they've increased their spending for sure.
Well, and of course, the fact that they race on dirt, it makes it, you know, even more of a nice harmony. And I've reported and asked the horsemen that have gotten horses from them that are racing in the U.S. And that's a fun, you know, tangent to the Korean racing story. Get into, you know, some of the top hips, some of the top buyers, and certainly Michael Lund Peterson, familiar to racegoers with more spirit, his presence, Chuck Zackney and Dennis O'Neill. What are some of the storylines coming out of the week's action?
Well, I think Chuck Zackney bought 8 horses, so he obviously has good feelings coming out of the Mid-Atlantic sales ring. He got Catherine Sophia there as a yearling and a Fleet Alex many years ago, the champion. So he obviously has an affinity for that sales ring, and he bought a Bernardini filly for $325. I think that was his most expensive purchase. The top price horse, the Medag, went for $1.2 million to Dennis O'Neill, so he'll be going out to Doug O'Neill. And he was purchased for a new client, actually. Dennis would not tell us his name, but it's a Middle Eastern client, so always good to see a new client at that high level. Michael Lund Peterson, as you said, was a big presence. He bought the Union Rags for $925, and the Mucho Macho Man that worked so fast that he bought for $625.
We also saw, although Ed Savant Jr. signs, that's the Kalim Shah team.
Well, it was definitely Simon Callahan, and I would guess Kalim Shah would be a good bet for that. I think that's a little spoof on Baffert, but they were busy too.
Well, that talk about that More Than Ready, and I, you know, it's funny because Sid Fernando and I, we had at the passing of Scat Daddy, I made the suggestion that More Than Ready was sort of a Scat Daddy light, you know, a horse that gets all kinds of different runners, had that. What Lauren Stitch used to call the hidden turf ability as a sire. And it does feel that he's kind of stepping in with his offspring and is ready to pick up the Scat Daddy style mantle.
It's possible. I think people tend to think of him more as a turf sire, but after he worked, I think he worked in 10-1 at the Undertax show, and I talked to Dean Dorenzo, who was consigning him, and he said, we targeted him because we think, you know, we think he's a dirt horse, and we wanted to show him off as a dirt horse. And after Simon Callahan signed the ticket, he said the same thing. He said, you know, I think this is more than ready to do well on turf, but I think this is a dirt horse. So, yeah, I think he's very adaptable. I think more than ready is a sire that can do anything for you. And, of course, he's out of an unbridled song mare, so that can get to anything, too.
Well, she was a nice horse, Ember's Song, and sure. is already a producer. And this is the family that, going back a little bit, Second Dam produced, daughter of the Second Dam produced Exaggerator. So there's... You know, there's some stallion strength that's attached to this as well. What other notable purchase or stallion storylines, Jess, did you kind of latch on to as the 2 days unfolded?
Well, you got to be impressed with Mucho Macho Man as his second big sale. He had the 575 at the OBS March sale, rather, and this horse came out and worked the fastest quarter mile and sold for $625,000. And he's already had a winner, Mucho Macho Man, so I think that's one to watch. Cairo Prince had another good sale with the $350,000 horse that Bobby Dodd sold. So that's where your first-year sires are in there.
Absolutely.
Flashback actually also had another sale. Flashback sold, had a $275,000 to Simon Callahan.
And then we saw the couple of, I think, three... six-figure FedBiz runners.
Yeah, he's proven very popular. And from a wide variety of buyers and sellers, too. Everybody seems to like him.
Of course, you know, it's a sale that has a lot of regional appeal. And so it's interesting because you get a real mixed bag of names in terms of stallions. And I'll give you one that had a little bit of a whisper going on, and it seems to have borne out a little bit. Honorable Dylan, I don't know if you noticed this, but he sold a $110,000 hip on day two. That was hip 392. Michael Iserman under Emerald Bloodstock, and then every other horse that he had in the sale, there were a pair of outs, but every other horse cleared. And just to me, that is always a positive attribute, for a new stallion that all his horses sell, even if it wasn't all six figures or, you know, 75,000, 90,000, they all cleared. And that counts for something.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, obviously they're finding buyers. That's always a good sign. It also looks like Gary Contessa bought two of them, too.
Absolutely. Jimmy Creed.
So he's a fan.
Yeah, absolutely. You look through McLean's Music with a couple of $300,000 sellers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mike Ryan, I know, is a big fan of McLean's Music. He always talks about it. After he signs a ticket, he's like, well, it's McLean's Music. He's a big fan. And he bought one.
I love it. Well, and there was somebody else that at the bottom. Let me scroll down. There was somebody that I had made a note. Super 99s continue to sell. Notable. In fact, Chuck Zachney, one of his was one of those. And we had mentioned the Factor going in a little bit. And yeah, there you go. So that's the top line. We'll Take Charge. We'll Take Charge had a good sale again.
And he's already had an impressive winner out there in California with Simon Callahan.
That's right. We talked about...
It's nice to see when you have the buzz on those young stallions that they come out and have a winner quickly.
To Jory. And Will Take Charge had seven go through the ring, every one. Two, it's interesting, two private sales, but 90,000, 80,000, 150, 190, 135, one RNA, actually. There were two RNAs, I take that back, a 19 and a 150 RNA, and then Donnie Von Hemel bought one from Brandon Rice for 65,000 after in the back. So Will Take Charge, clearly. Doing well. You know, as this portion of the sales season winds down, any pin hookers that you particularly noted had a great season? You know, some last couple of years we talked regularly about, you know, certain houses that fared particularly well, and it seemed like Bobby Dodd had a great sale.
Bobby Dodd year in and year out does pretty well. Yeah, he had a couple of nice sales at this sale. He sold that Union Rags that they had bought for, I think, $90,000 last year, and they sold him for $925. They had the Cairo Prince as well that they bought for $160 at Fasig last July, and they sold for $350. So it was another good season for Bobby Dodd. Hartley and Dorenzo obviously did really well at this sale, and they constantly talk about they target this sale because of the dirt track and because it's a later date on the calendar, and they like that gives their horses extra time. They obviously did really well. They had the topper, that $1.2 million topper that they bought for $475, and the More Than Ready colt they bought for $500 and sold for $750. So they're targeting that high-end pin hook, and they've got to hit that home run, and they did it at this sale.
Well, we send everybody back down to Ocala now, right? We got June, and
stop on the rodeo.
There you go. and then Barrett's, right, with the paddock sale at which incorporates a little everything when we get to Del Mar. But the last of the major two-year-old sale season, kind of the last roundup, and you know, people that have been shopping. But I think Jess, that this was, you know, this was very heartening, particularly, you know, for that 200, you know, call it from the $75,000 to $200,000 range. Seemed like, you know, that helps a lot of people when there's a lot of horses selling in that range.
It seems like the middle market has been coming back a little bit this year. I think OBS April was the first time that I actually heard consigners saying, yeah, we think maybe the middle market's coming back. You know, the buyers have been saying for a little while, yes, it's tough to buy in the middle market, but the consigners were always kind of a little hesitant to say that. But that was the first sale in a while that I've heard consigners actually say, yes, we think the middle market might be coming back. And I think that was also the case in the Mid-Atlantic sale.
Well, not to belabor this point, but brought it up with Elliot Walden about the, you know, the vanity partnerships buying horses, you know, the top dollar horses. And one thing that is notable when you look down this buyer list, there wasn't any of that going on here. There were individual people, individual interests buying the horses. And when, you know, when you've got, you know, the Vinnie Violas and Mike Rapoli's partnered up, and you know, the Bob Edwards and Stone Street partnered up, you're not forcing the money down. You're not forcing the buyers to, you know, to have to scrape and dig for, you know, for their own horses. And you know, I think that issue, you know, which is getting so much attention right now, is most notable here when you see that, you know, the fact that people had to, you know, had to compete, that strengthened that portion of the market that's been, you know, a little bit bereft going the last couple of years.
That's a good point. Yes, it was refreshing to see that there wasn't those partnerships. Yeah. I mean, it makes sense, obviously, for them when they're buying, but it's nice to see individuals getting horses as well, as you said.
Well, it's always fun when we check in with Jessica Martini. And, Jess, I appreciate it. Appreciate all the coverage, of course, and TDN telling all the stories. If you know, when you get a chance to pull up TDN, and you can find out about virtually every aspect of the sales arena, the bloodstock trade, because, you know, Jessica and
whoever is assigned to the various sales. You get the story on the buyers, on the people that originally bred and developed the horses, whether it's if it's a pinhook, you find out about that end of the operation. There's a lot to learn when you read the coverage that Jessica and the team provide. So, as always, appreciate the visit and appreciate the coverage.
Thank you, Steve.
Always fun. Jessica Martini, everybody, one of our favorites to talk about these topics, and does just a tremendous job. And like I say, if you want to really get beyond, just the, not that there aren't features in other areas of trade, but when the TDN, tells these stories, you're talking, because I print them out and read through them, you get, really all angles. You get a virtually every part of the story of how the horse came to be and who was involved. So follow Jess. It's Jess Martini TDN, and you can get the TDN delivered right to your mailbox daily. The bulletins and everything else, and really a perfect complement to the DRF work and Blood Horse, your three headed trades when it comes to coverage. Let's take a break. Top of the hour upon us, and we'll catch up with Tony Black. I want to get Tony's take on what Jose Ortiz could have done differently. Should have you done anything differently? Is it always appropriate to ride to win, quote unquote? Tony will answer those questions and probably more. We're also going to have Tony, because I utilize his expertise riding Pimlico over the years. We're going to talk one more time about those flat turns and the fact that there is not the same banking at this racetrack at Pimlico as there is elsewhere. About 8 degrees versus about 14 or 15 degrees. And could that maybe, based on what, as I hinted at, as Mike Smith said, in terms of the way Justify was, what he was dealing with from the footing standpoint, I think that had a little bit to do with with what people somehow have interpreted as an underwhelming performance. Tony Black joins us next. Steve Haskin to follow. Stay with us.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com performance plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Hi, this is